Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Chamber Channel's Five Questions podcast. This is the place where we take a deep dive with industry leaders for an inside look at their world and how they can make a difference in yours.
Hilton Head Island is a pretty special place. It was built around its natural beauty, and the reverence for our environment still stands today. You know, one organization has not only built a business on exploring our waterways, it's also making extra efforts to preserve it and teaching the next generation why it matters. Mike Overton, he's the CEO of Outside Brands. He's in our studio to talk about the importance of our environment and more. Let's listen. I think, Mike, a lot of people don't know about you and about Outside is that it started as a windsurfing school back in 1979 and expanded from there. And when I say expanded, I mean expanded. How did you build this business over 45 years? I know that sounds like a big question, and it is, but it's a pretty interesting start.
It was. I did come here in college one summer to start a windsurfing school and figured I'd be a fun thing to do for the summer. And I didn't have an outline of what it would look like 45 years later at that time. So the growth has really been, I would say, quite organic. It was a matter of kind of taking advantage of opportunities and connections met along the way. And then also, you know, it was an opportunity to grow with this region and with Hilton Head as it's grown over the past 45 years. And that's really been the difference. There's, you know, some real milestones along the way of what curbed that growth. But it really has been quite an organic thing to grow it to where it is now.
I think you're also a really good trend spotter. You've always been good, I think, about spotting what's hot right now, what's happening right now, and capitalizing on that. Tell me a little bit how your business has changed. I think part of that expansion right now, too, you're not just, I know people think of Outside as this is where I go for my outdoor activities and to rent the kayaks, but you have a whole other aspect to your business, don't you, that deals with corporate groups and those types of groups coming in.
We do. I mean, the business has grown because we did catch on to things that became popular quickly after we started doing them. And I think a lot of that just came from passion for myself and passion of people on our team. Windsurfing was a passion, you know, in the late 80s, where we got into more of an outdoor role and had mentors like Patagonia. And we were introduced to kayaking from a fella who had the largest kayak manufacturer in the world that happened to be visiting Hilton Head. And I think we were the first kayak company to do nature-based kayak tours in the country.
Really?
Yeah. And now there's, you know, lots on Hilton Head and thousands around the country. I think we were the first rollerblade dealer east of the Mississippi River.
Oh, that's amazing.
When that started in the early 90s. I think we were one of the first people to do stand-up paddleboarding in the late 90s. We ended up buying a chain of islands in the late 90s because it was an opportunity. And then that turned into what we called a growth center that got us into team building. And in the late 2000s, or 2008, when the economy went south, there were two companies on Hilton Head that were destination management companies. They went out of business in that great recession year. And so we looked at that business and said, well, you know, we're dealing with a lot of corporate groups with our team building. We've got a great infrastructure and logistics center for all of our activities. Why don't we get into this? And we did in 2009, started our destination management company Outside DMC. If you're not familiar with the destination management company DMC acronym, basically what that type of business does is provide traveling corporate groups with everything over and above what the hotel does. So whether it's ground transportation, support for parties, events, decor, entertainment, activities, you know, whether we contract ourselves or do a cooking school or take them race car driving or whatever it is, it's a one-stop shop. And that's been a big part of our growth in the last 15 years or so.
I think, and I would assume corporate's the same. I've never been really more surprised to hear when people come to the destination visiting, whether a corporate group or with their family. We hear it all the time. The most surprising thing they say, we knew it had a beach. We knew it was beautiful, but we had no idea the nature of this island. You guys sort of in a big way help people discover that nature and you have a passion for it. What do you feel, Mike, what's so important about our natural resources and sharing that nature? Tell us a little bit about how that happens when you're sharing that with the people who come here.
Well, I think it's, if you take even a corporate group, we try to really build a circle for their entire event. If they're here for a 3-day meeting, and that circle may start on how they're greeted at the airport, to the conversation that happens in the vehicle to the hotel, how they're greeted at the hotel. If the decor has a connection to activities, maybe the decor is made out of oyster shells, and the next day they're doing a tour of the Bluston Oyster Company, and they get out into the marsh and they really understand the tides, and it builds really what's so special about this area. And that, I think there has been a change just in visitors. I was on the board of the chamber for most of the years in the 90s. In those days, there were three words primarily used to market Hilton Head. It was golf, tennis, beach. I think now, if you look at the marketing, there's really three different words, and it's usually nature, history, culture.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I think that's the byproduct of being successful marketing it as golf and beach. People get that now, and they want to know what else is there.
You know, and it's interesting. I was fortunate enough, after I had been on Hilton Head for about a month when I was 19 years old, and I was still trying to find a location to operate a windsurfing school, to get a meeting with Charles Frazier.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, I went into that meeting, and his assistant had told me I had 10 minutes, and I'm a 19-year-old kid with my hair past my shoulders, and he talked for a while. He told me to get in his car. He drove me all over Sea Pines. At the end of the day, he took me for a ride in a sailboat. And he said words at the end of that meeting. He ended up setting us up with a card table in the back of the general store down at the South Beach Marina to operate a windsurfing school. And he said, look, if you really want to connect people to the Lowcountry, it's all about one word. It's all about tides. Everything here, all of our nature, all of our history, the way people have moved around for centuries, all of our culture, all of our literature, whether it's Print of Tides or Forrest Gump, it's all about the tides. If you can figure out how to connect people to tides, they'll get this area and you'll do okay.
Wow. What a great experience for you to have. I mean, what a brilliant guy, first of all, so ahead of his time, especially when you look at the nature aspect, because that's not what you did back then. You clear cut everything. Nature didn't blend with a resort. You overtook nature to have a resort, and he did it differently.
I think in 1960, Hilton Head was probably considered one of the most progressive, as far as environmental developments in the world, almost, especially in this, you know, what was being developed then on the South End.
Right, right. And to this day, it's still different. When I have media come in, they always say to me, oh, you think you know an East Coast resort, but you don't. When you see Hilton Head, it's different.
Right.
It is.
Yeah, the way you blend development and landscape with nature is really, I think we're really fortunate to live here.
Oh, I think so too. I think so too. You also have a passion, Mike. I know you formed the Outside Foundation. You have a passion for helping the next generation discover what's so vital in the nature of this area. Talk a little bit about that.
So the Outside Foundation, also somewhat organic, in the early part of the teens, the 2011-12 era, our employees had started something called the Green Team. They wanted to make our company as sustainable as possible, and they were looking at the type of lighting we were using and how we were recycling, et cetera. And I was at an outdoor show, I think it was in 2012, in Salt Lake City. Is the biggest outdoor show in the world. And the keynote speaker at that show that year was a woman named Sally Jewell. She was the Secretary of the Interior administration then. And she was giving a talk about the national parks and her goals for the national parks. And she said, you know, my biggest goal is to get kids involved in the national parks. And she gave this statistic where she said the average 10-year-old has 10 hours of free time a day. 9.5 of the hours are looking at a screen. Mm-hmm. And so that really, you know, we all think about our experience as a kid. And I think for most people, usually the resonation with family or whatever usually goes back to something in the outdoors. And so really the goal of the Outside Foundation, which we formed and officially got the IRS certification in 2014, was dual. One, to get kids outside.
Kids in kayaks.
That's been the biggest product of that. And two, local environmental preservation and protection. And I'd say the most, while the foundation does a lot of great cleanups, the great big Earth Day cleanup happening next week. But I think the most impactful has been the community oyster recycling program.
Talk a little bit about that. I think people are often surprised they don't know how that works or what, you know, how the oyster ecosystem works and how important that is.
So oysters are a fascinating organism. I've learned a lot from the foundation about those, and they really are the reason this area is so pristine. You could probably put more of the credit to that to oysters than anything else. They're filter feeders. They filter out bacteria and everything else all day long and with the tides. But they also are barriers to break down the water, as especially with sea level rise, to protect our salt marsh ecosystem. And not to get too wordy, but oysters have to grow on something hard. It's called a spat. One thing we don't have in the low country is rock. Mm-hmm. So they either have to grow on a piece of wood or a dock, or ideally on themselves, on another oyster. And so putting more oyster beds and giving that opportunity for oysters to grow, to filter more water and to protect the salt marsh is really the goal of the oyster recycling. And so now the foundation now has about 30 local restaurants as partners. They work with their customers, and every oyster eaten is recycled. It's, the foundation trains the staff on making sure trash is separated. And then we work with I2 Recycling. They go in Sea Pines, they go every single day and pick up the oysters from the restaurant. Up at Honeyhorn, they gave us space to drop them. They go there and they sit around for about a year, and nature does its thing. And then there's community volunteer sessions where folks come in and put them in bags. And those bags, then we have volunteer, we build oyster reefs. We've now built over 20 oyster reefs in the county. All the locations are designated by the State Department of Natural Resources. And interestingly, we had a study done 2 years ago by the Pew Charitable Trust. Mm-hmm. And we were quite proud. They said that this oyster recycling initiative has been the most impactful thing on protecting the southeastern salt marsh from sea level rise.
That's incredible.
Pretty powerful.
That is really powerful.
And just to add to that, if somebody wants to visually see it, the biggest oyster reef we've built is along the 18th fairway of Harbortown.
Wow.
And, you know, it's interesting. We, you know, the 18th fairway for years has been eroding along the Calabogie Sound. Obviously, the most visible probably piece of property possibly in South Carolina. And several years ago, Sea Pines had a study done, and in their best thoughts, they had a bunch of rock piles dropped off the 18th green. Well, typically when you put a stationary thing like that, it just reroutes the water. So as a result, around the sides of it, there was more erosion happening. And that was, it was a millions of dollar project. And we went to, the foundation went to Sea Pines and said, look, you know, this is what the oysters can do. And so there's been two separate reef builds the past two summers with salt marsh sprigs put behind them. Just look down all along the fairway and you'll see some of the results.
See the handiwork.
Yeah.
See it out there. Yeah, I think that visitors are often fascinated that this is more than just you're just eating an oyster. It's actually going to go somewhere and do something productive after it leaves your plate.
Well, it's pretty powerful when you're sitting there, on, even if you're watching CBS and you look out there and you realize that that fairway is being protected by oysters that were eaten by residents and visitors of Hilton Head. And so that meal really has been productive.
That's a full circle moment. That's for sure. So what's next for Outside Brands? What's next for you guys?
You know, we have a pretty simple mission statement, which is to enrich lives by connecting people to exceptional places, products, and experiences. And so we continue to try to do that better. You know, we've expanded into the Savannah, Georgia market, and that's growing. We continue to grow our offerings on Hilton Head. We have a 49-vessel passenger vessel. We're just about to purchase another one of those. And so really our goal is to continue what we do and do it really, really well.
Well, if that's your mission, Mike Overton, mission accomplished. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Charlie.
thanks everyone for listening. The podcast continues to grow and never miss an episode of our Five Questions podcast by subscribing to the Chamber Channel on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take a moment to download, subscribe, and leave us a review. It helps us reach more people.